This is KERA News. KERA just wrapped up its latest One Crisis Away series called Still on the Edge. Reporter Courtney Collins looked at how life on the financial edge has changed, or hasn't, in the last 5 years of economic boom times. For this week's Friday Conversation, Collins tells Rick Holter about some of the shocking numbers behind the series.
What was your biggest surprise in reporting these stories?
I think that probably came before we actually started following up with people in the series. We got some really interesting data that came out of a study by the Center for Public Policy Priorities, which is based in Austin, and the North Texas-based Communities Foundation of Texas. And what that revealed was there was a significant $10,000 drop in median income. Frances DeVinny was involved with the study, and she kind of explains that we weren't the only ones surprised by this data.
It was a stark decline that we weren't even expecting. What we saw was that in Dallas County, median incomes, that means it's like the income where 50% people make more or 50% make less, there was a 16% decline over about a 15-year period. That's huge. In Texas, it was only 2%. We couldn't believe the massive drop that was happening in Dallas County and what it meant for people's opportunities.
That number is shocking. Courtney, how can that be when there's been such an economic boom?
Well, it really kind of depends on how you define boom. For example, the unemployment rate is really low in this area. It's been under 4% for a significant amount of time. But what Frances DeVinny explained was after the recession, a lot of those kind of middle income jobs, those solid middle class jobs where you could be employed for 40 hours a week and have enough money to pay all your bills and put some aside to, those dropped significantly, and those didn't really come back. What replaced those jobs were lower wage jobs in the service sector that paid so much less that people couldn't make ends meet even when employed in them.
So people went from working, you know, for big companies as welders, say, to working for fast food companies serving burgers.
Right. Many, many, many more jobs paying $8, $9, or $10 an hour were replacing the ones that kind of had an upwardly mobile trajectory and a much higher salary.
I've got to say the thing that shot me this series was Chris Crowley's commute, 3 hours each way.
Yeah, that was a tough one to get past. So Chris Crowley's a really interesting guy. We met him several years ago when we were kind of focusing on the neighborhood of Jubilee Park in a One Crisis Away series. He'd been working about a $9 an hour job. So recently he did get a job with the Home Depot Distribution Center, which is about a 20-minute drive from where he lives in Jubilee Park. That's a neighborhood between Interstate 30 and Fair Park, kind of in old East Dallas, that area. Now, the job pays $14 an hour, which is a big jump for him. But in order to get there, because he doesn't have a car, he has to hoof it to the DART stop, take two trains, then take two buses in order to make it on time. And he works 4 days a week and does that almost 3 hour commute one way and then does it again on the other side of his shift.
That's 24 hours a week.
Chris is happy with the job and it pays decently compared to especially what he'd been earning before. He does see a little bit of mobility possibility within the job. He sees himself maybe becoming a manager one day. The issue is even with $14 an hour, he's still having a really tough time paying the bills.
You think everything, you know, you're in the clear and, oh, you know, I'm making pretty good money and okay thing. But, you know, stuff still costs and it's only getting higher, you know.
Chris and everybody you talk to has a job. By most measures, they're doing really pretty well financially. And yet, the single mom, Natalie Berquist, you talk to, is only staying afloat because she and her son stay rent-free at her brother's house. Then there's Shirley Martin, who's still working at age 77, and she says she'll go to 90 if she can. These folks just have no financial cushion.
Right, that's the issue. Everybody's working, everyone's budgeted so tightly, and still not really able to save. So if anything happens to derail them, you know, whether that's like a major car repair or being out of work for a short period of time, they really don't have anything to fall back on. We talked about this a little bit during Shirley Martin's story. As you said, she's 77 years old and has no plans to retire, doesn't want to, but can't really either. The Bureau of Labor Statistics recently said that the fastest growing segment of the workforce is people 75 and over. They're expecting about a 6.5% growth in that sector by 2024.
So what happens to these folks when the next downturn hits?
It just really all depends on their job. So much of their financial security is tied to their employment. So if a job disappears or one of them is no longer able to work, that they could be in a real financial bind at this
point. Or if they have a health crisis.
Right, exactly. That's something you can't really predict for. I asked Shirley specifically about that because she's in her late 70s. She says she doesn't really waste a lot of time worrying about what may happen to her health down the road because she'll deal with it the best she can and move on.
Kind of the mantra of everybody you talk to in this series.
Exactly.
KERA's Courtney Collins, thanks for the series and thanks for taking the time.
Sure, happy to help.